So, Ben Holder, tell the Morton Jazz Club.
Hello. So, Morton Jazz is a it's a once monthly jazz club that takes place at the Reedsdale Hall. I used to call it the Reedsdale Hall.
Oh, that sounds much more upmarket.
Yeah, I used to call it Morton in the Marsh as well.
Yes, I did.
But it's not. It's Morton in Marsh. That's very
correct.
Posh, isn't it?
Very quickly correct.
correct.
And it's at the Reedsdale Hall, and it's generally on the second Wednesday of the month. And it's a club that I run with my fiancée Sophie, who's sat in the same room.
Hello. She's here.
You can't see her, but she is here.
Yeah.
And I also run it with my good friend and double bass player Paul Jeffries, who I refer to as Lozenge, just in case that slips.
I understand. Yes.
And then he is married to my mom, so she comes along and helps as well. And her name's Jane. Jane Jeffries.
get all the credits in now.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Oh, God. Don't upset anyone. Yeah.
Oh, no, you can't be super. And I'd like to thank.
Yeah.
Don't get started.
The idea basically is that I with Sophie, I run about three jazz clubs ourselves. We run them in the Midlands. And then Paul and my mum, they run three or four jazz clubs down in Oxfordshire and the Cotswolds and things. And so we just thought, well, we'll meet in the middle somewhere and run one together. Put both our minds together, put music on we both like, put some people on we both know. Because that's quite nice, you know, because he knows some musicians I don't know and vice versa. Mm. And we get to play with all these kind of different guests every month. It's always a different style of jazz, be it trad or gypsy jazz or bebop or whatever, you know, it's always a bit different, swing, you know. And you get to meet new people, and the audiences are always lovely. They're fantastic. This is going out into Morton, yeah?
Yeah,
they're my favourite audience.
Absolutely, yes.
Ever. Yes. I love them so much.
Yes, he loves them so much in Morton.
Better than any audience ever.
So get down there to Reedsdale Hall.
Yeah.
But they are lovely.
They are actually really nice. In fact, a lot of the audiences we have, they're all really nice.
Do you think they're quite informed audiences, jazz audiences?
A mix.
The Morton people are, yes, I suppose they are. Yeah. They're very, very learned jazz.
They know their jazz.
They know their jazz, yeah. Mm. Which in some ways is nice, and in other ways it makes you work a bit harder.
Yeah.
You know, I can't just tell them random facts that aren't true.
No.
Because they'll know that they're not true.
Exactly.
Whereas I can say it in other places.
So how about you get started in jazz yourself? I mean, because you're not an old fellow, are you?
I am not old at all.
Yeah, you're still young whippersnapper.
Still young, yeah. How many years can you say that to? Because I'm 28. I'm almost 29.
Oh, you're a baby.
Yeah, good. So I've got another 10 years yet till I'm.
I've got
till
40. I've got 40 years on you.
Oh my goodness, we don't look it. That's about that. No, so I started when I was six. Mom says it's five, but it is six. Mm. I'm pretty sure. I was in year two, and I started off at school and classically and all that. And then I did classical music in various kind of places. I did it at Repton once a week, and then I did end up at the Birmingham Conservatoire once a week for the junior school. All classical until I was about 14, 15. Mm-hmm. And then jazz at that point really took over for me because I found out about Grappelli, Stefano Grappelli.
Right. Now he's your first record choice, isn't he?
He is, yeah. I love Grappelli. I mean, for me, there won't be another jazz violinist like him. Mm. You know, there are a lot of different jazz violinists, but no one really does what he did. He was very fluent with it and very swinging, smooth. Yeah. You know? And I, of course, he's the guy I sat there and played along to and learnt a lot off, really.
So what track would you play from him?
I would have to go with Sweet Georgia Brown.
Sweet Georgia Brown.
I think so, yeah. It's kind of my go-to kind of end piece. And that's basically down to watching Grappelli on the DVDs and YouTube and things. He would always seem to end with that. It'd always be a nice... Because you can speed it up and stuff.
His encore piece.
Yeah, and he always used to, you know... There were times when he'd get people involved, other people as well, you know, maybe... Mm. Folk players as well, all in this kind of end tune of Sweet Georgia Brown. It's a bit of a classic as well, isn't it? Everybody seems to request it if I don't play it. So
he would be one of your kind of heroes.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
one
definitely.
Of your influences.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely a big influence on my jazz.
Yes.
Like I said, because I liked his fluency.
Yes.
It's almost like, you know, he was just talking.
Yes.
Speaking a language and through his instrument. And I like that, as opposed to the kind of more ragged solos. I like it to be very fluent.
And smooth.
Yeah, smooth. And smooth jazz. Rubbed off on me, yeah.
Smooth jazz.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, you also play the piano.
I do.
Yes.
That's another influence.
But not at the same time.
No. Well, you see, that's another thing that I found out, is Stefan Grappelli played piano as well.
Yes.
Kind of did a couple of songs in his shows, and I didn't realise. My first jazz pianist that I loved was Oscar Peterson.
Right.
I love Oscar Peterson.
Right.
And I don't know, piano is something that I've taught myself, really.
Mm. Self-taught.
So exactly. So I'm not quite as adept on the piano.
No.
As I am, you know, I think I feel a bit more comfortable on the violin.
Right.
But it's lovely, because there's so much to learn on
Yes,
piano.
Yes.
What do you think, Soph?
About your piano playing?
About it all, yeah.
Yeah, about his piano playing, go on.
Come on, so I can't sit here and say...
He's a great piano player. I think his first instrument is the violin.
Right.
So that will always shine,
right.
You know, and it does. But right. he's a great piano player, because
right.
he's very musically minded.
Right.
And I think whatever instrument you pick up when you're musically minded...
Yes, you could probably turn your hand to it.
Exactly.
With a bit of practice.
And he understands the music and how it works, especially with jazz, and so that just sort of effortlessly transfers onto the piano, even if he doesn't think,
yes, you know. Yes, I'm hoping to meet a musician, an American musician, tomorrow, I'm hoping, not quite sure whether this is going to come off, who plays a Japanese instrument.
Whoa.
Called the shakuchi.
Oh my god, I've never heard of that.
I believe it's a flute.
Isn't it a song from The Music Man? Shapoopy, isn't it?
I would have to double check the name of the instrument, but he apparently thought, oh, I could play that. Until, of course, he picked up the instrument found that he couldn't.
Yeah.
And had to really learn it. But he thought, I'm going to learn how to play this. And he now is the go-to expert.
No way.
Yeah.
On the shakuchi?
Yes. Yes.
Well, there we go. If I ever need a shakuchi.
And he said, and the person who was telling me about this... said that you'd know about the music or the instrument if you've watched Kung Fu films.
Oh, right, the old Bruce Lee.
Yes, that sort of flute sound.
Oh, okay, yeah. I can picture it in my head.
Yes.
The sound.
Yes.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Absolutely, if it comes off.
Oh, I'll listen to it.
But we might be able to do a phone call interview, if not to actually meet him live. But anyway, that's for tomorrow, that's another day. So... Oscar Peterson, then. What shall we play from
Oscar Manchester? Peterson? Well, I think it's going to have to be Night Train. Because that is the kind of the Oscar Peterson album.
Okay.
I like my vinyls, so I've got them all on vinyl, you know. Night Train is just the one, but I think the title track.
Yeah.
I remember hearing him do it, and for the first time when I was about 13. I remember thinking, he's playing the song off Back to the Future. Not, he's playing Night Train. Like, he's playing the one off the telly. He's playing the one off the film. Because the band
it.
In that.
They nicked it.
Yeah. But it turns out it's a jazz tune, you know. But he's just amazing, isn't he?
Yeah,
he practices a lot more than I practice. So.
Well, they say that if you want to be a proficient public performer, you've got to have practiced and rehearsed for 10,000 hours.
Oh, crikey. Yeah.
Well, if you work 10,000 hours out, that's 10 years at 3 hours a day.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean, 365 days a year times three, there's 1,000 as near meters.
I used to do 4 hours when I was 10.
Mm.
So I didn't do 4 hours ever.
No.
But I reckon I've probably done around that.
Yeah.
I think if you're a classically trained, especially if you've been doing it young with a classical discipline, then I think you'd get that under your belt pretty
quickly,
pretty
wouldn't
easily,
you? Yes, yeah, because by the time you've done all the scales and the arpeggios
You know what? People come up to me and they say, what's the one bit of advice you can give my little Timmy or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, he's playing the violin, what's the advice? And I hate to say it, but practice your scales and arpeggios.
Yeah,
they used to say that to me when I was a kid, and I said, "Oh, I hate them. They don't even sound nice and all this."
Yeah, well, I learned to play trumpet as well.
Whoa,
not at the same time as playing the cello. You understand? Because that's a bit of a difficult trick.
Yeah, man.
Possible
though.
I guess it must be. And that the hardest part with the trumpet, of course, is the lip. and maintaining the lip on the mouthpiece. And we were at the grammar school I was at in Stratford. We had for a couple of years the head trumpeter, the head brass player with the Shakespeare Theatre would come to the school and give private tuition to those who wanted it. And there was only only a handful of us, there was a couple on clarinet, I think. And it's a wind instrument, so that, you know, that it's got the same kind of mouth involvement, hasn't it? And the trumpet, and he was lead trumpet. And he said to me, towards the kind of end of the sixth form years, he said that if you want to make a living at this, playing the trumpet, you're going to have to change the way you play. And I said, why? And he said, well, look at yourself in a mirror when you put the trumpet to your lips. So, you know, you put the trumpet to your lips. Yeah. So. And I was blowing it from the side.
Right. Okay.
That's how I'd learnt to play the bugle.
From the side of your mouth?
Yeah, right, not from dead centre.
Right, oh wow.
But I was playing it slightly off to the right. Just slight, it wasn't much. But he said, if you want to make a living at this, you're going to have to change that.
Did you change?
Well, I tried for a while, but I couldn't play. Because it changes the whole shape of your mouth. The whole shape of your mouth. And I thought, oh, I'm not going to make a living at it. back to what I can do. But it is the practice.
My technique on the violin isn't, certainly on the piano, I mean, it's not, my technique all around isn't anywhere near perfect. And the thing is, I'd probably be told the same thing.
Yes.
You've got to start again, you know.
But having said that, about always having to do things a sort of prescribed way, I met a comedian a couple of weeks back who's coming to the end of his career. I won't tell you who. But he was saying that when he first started off, somebody had said, if you want to go into comedy, don't do it the way this chap does it.
Yeah, well, exactly. Right? Yes, yeah.
But then he watched Billy Connolly.
Right.
And he thought, he's not doing it like anybody else does it.
Yeah.
He's doing it his own way. Right. That's what I'll do.
Yeah.
And so that made his career. You know, because he wasn't trying to follow anybody else's influences, and somebody else had said, you're going to have to change, you know. It doesn't always follow, does it, you see? And I thought it was quite interesting, really. So you've almost got to be true to yourself and your own feelings about it, haven't you?
This is what I was going to say.
We get quite intellectual on this programme. <yeah.
laughs> Well, do it your own way, especially for jazz, from my point of view, where it, you know, it doesn't really matter. And the more personal it is to you, the more different it's going to be, and I don't know, I think it kind of works better.
Yes.
You know?
So what about your next musical choice? So we've had Stefan Grappelli and Oscar Peterson.
Well, I mentioned earlier that, you know, other than Grappelli, you know, the jazz violin doesn't really appeal to me other than Grappelli, to be completely honest.
Right.
But saying that, the one person that really does appeal to me, that I try and imitate on my violin, is Benny Goodman.
Okay.
So clarinet player, so a little bit outside the box. And
I
think it goes back to what we were just saying. I think the more you think outside the box and do it in a more unique way, the more kind of unique you'll be.
Yeah. You know? And do you have a tune in mind from Benny Goodman?
Well, I do love a few. Obviously, I love them all. But put on the spot, I would say Airmail Special is just
Airmail Special.
That's just a great. He wrote it with Charlie Christian,
right?
I think, and who was his guitar player.
Mm.
And you know, it's just a nice. It's just a fun one. I quite often end shows with that, or so end that, sets with it. You know, because it's just upbeat. It's just cool. It just flows, and it's and you can do it really fast as well.
Which is what you're pretty good at, from what I've seen.
Well, yeah, I suppose I feel more comfortable, you know, playing that. I think you can make more mistakes and cover them up when you're playing fast. I think that's the thing.
I think that's probably true. If you were a singer opening your set, sing a fast song, and then they can cover up you not getting the high notes.
Exactly. Yeah,
if you start off with a slow song that's got some very high notes that you've got to sustain. Or low notes.
I'm slowly coming around to the idea that to play slow is actually really difficult.
Yes.
I never used to believe it, but I think to do it well, you can't get away with as much when you're playing fast. But I do love playing fast.
Yes. So the Morton Jazz Club, then, let's just focus on that for a minute or three. Once a month, every second Wednesday.
Yeah, at pretty much every second Wednesday.
Yeah, at the Reedsdale Hall, or the Reddersdale, as you called it.
Yeah.
And we might just be able to squeeze this programme, this interview in before the next one, which is August the 8th.
Yeah, Wednesday the 8th.
Wednesday the 8th. Who is?
And, we have two new people come in this time for the first time in the few years we've been doing the club. It's always nice to get kind of new faces and stuff.
Mm.
And this pair were chosen by Paul, because I don't know them.
Mm.
I'll meet them for the first time on Wednesday, which is what I love. I love, you know, it's what jazz is all about, isn't it? Playing with people for the first time. But it's a trombone player called Mark Bassey, who I've heard a lot about. I think he's nominated again for the Jazz Awards this year. And a pianist called Graham Taylor, who is also meant to be fantastic.
Mm.
And we'll find out on the night, I suppose. But I'm sure they will be.
Yes.
But he's got quite an interesting story, Mark Bassey on the trombone, from what I've heard and read on the internet and stuff. And he doesn't have a left hand, and he doesn't have a few fingers on his right hand. So yeah, that's like an attachment. Obviously, for a trombone, when you're trying to reach, yeah, we're doing the action, by the way. when you need to reach quite a long way down, I imagine. And so he gets over that by wearing like an attachment, and
that shows great perseverance.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
Oh, it's going to be so interesting as well. Because apparently he's like one of the top trombonists in the UK.
We might be able to find something on YouTube too. Yeah. Or even on Spotify. Who knows?
I try to like not listen to them or find too much about them until the night. I like it to be spontaneous.
Yes. For me. It kind of hits you better that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's
you know, it's more of a nice surprise. But yeah, he's meant to be one of the top players. And, and with that kind of... you know, I don't know what you say, but the with that, hold on a minute.
Ambiance? No. Wrong word. Background?
No, what's the...
Style?
Not disability, but with that kind of...
Challenge?
Yeah, with the challenge of the... I mean, I couldn't play violin with, you know, left hand and... Yeah, you know, so it's always interesting as well.
How people cope.
Well, how not only they cope, but become the top players.
Yes.
You know, more of a handicap than another trombone.
That should be a good enough reason for people to come to the club on Wednesday, shouldn't it?
Wednesday the 8th.
Wednesday the 8th of August.
Yeah, man.
September?
September, we have a mate of mine, really good clarinet player, called Julian Stringle. Who's he's called Julian Mark Stringle, actually, but I think either goes, you know, he looks a bit like Kenny G. But he, again, is one of the top clarinetists, I would say. What do you reckon, Soph?
He's amazing. Julian's amazing. He's like one of my favourite people ever as well. Like, he's such a nice guy. Which, when you put on as much jazz as we do, sometimes, I mean, we get on with everyone, but sometimes you meet someone who you think, yeah, you are not only an amazing musician, but also a really nice guy.
I like you as well.
Yeah, a really nice guy to be around. And he's sort of the clarinet version of Ben, because he has got the ability to speed it. He has got the dexterity to play at the same speed. And he's also got the energy level. And he's got this amazing mass of, like, curly hair, and it just flings everywhere. And he's incredible to watch. I always love it when Jules is on. Like, it's such a treat. And Jules and Ben together as well is definitely to be seen. It's great.
Good.
Really good.
That can lead us into another song if you want.
Oh, go on. Yes, come on. Yes.
Yeah,
I'm all for links. I'm all for links.
I love recording with these guys. I mean, you know, the beauty about meeting these people is that you can become friendly and then, you know, get together and record some music or whatever. And I tend to do that with the people I really like, you know. As long as they're happy to do it with me, which they did seem to be. And I did one last year with Julian and a couple of other great guys. And we did this CD called Oscar Meets Stefan and Benny's Running Wild. That was the kind of idea. It was an idea of, well, Oscar Peterson and Stefan Grappelli played together, but they never played with Benny Goodman. And also on this CD we did was an amazing pianist called Craig Milverton, and a drummer called Nick Millwood, and Paul Jeffers again, double bass. And so the idea was, what if they had all played together? Because Craig is a big fan, as we all are, of Oscar Peterson. I'm a big fan of Grappelli. Julian's a big fan of Benny Goodman. So we all try and play in those kind of ways. And so we hoped that it might give off, what would it, if a piano, clarinet and violin all did a CD together, what would it sound like? And hopefully...
It sounds good.
Well, hopefully it sounds good.
Yeah.
But I really like it because, you know, skip through the violin solos, but the guy is just fantastic. And Julian's just amazing.
It's like a case of the past talking to the present.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly, yeah. What would they do now? You know, those Benny Goodman, Grappelli and Oscar Peterson.
Yeah.
And so a track off that, which I think would show show everyone off a little bit. What about Can't Buy Me Love?
Okay.
The Beatles.
Yeah, yeah.
But a jazz sort of version.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, sweet.
I'm up for that.
I reckon that'll do.
So that's September. October?
Oh, I've got to just check. you've caught me out.
Caught him cold here.
Can you remember
something? Because we do multiple jazz nights.
Yes.
People ask us sometimes, oh, what's on, you know, we're away for a couple of months, because we get regular people that come to Morton and all of the jazz nights, you know, like sort of regular... they come to every concert.
Regular patrons.
Yes, exactly, patrons. And they'll say, what's on in November? Because we're away for 2 months. And I'm just standing there thinking, I cannot remember.
Yeah.
But I think Ben might know now.
I know.
Do you know now?
I've just had a look. Yeah, it's...
this is October.
It's a gent called Rob Terry.
Right.
A pianist who...
Oh, that's fun.
It's the Rob Terry Trio.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm doing it. As well, but either way, it'd definitely be the Rob Terry Trio, and it's basically a cross between classical and jazz, and it's really, really good. If you love classical and jazz, it's just fusion music. Yeah, if you like Rachmaninoff and Gershwin, you'll love it.
Or Shostakovich.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. If you like Chopin and
I'm just showing that I
Cole
know
Porter.
Foreign names.
Yeah. It's like what's it they do the Moonlight Sonata into My Funny Valentine. I think.
Okay.
You know, just things like that. And yeah, exactly. It just works really. And you know, Rob's fantastic on the piano. He's a brilliant piano player. You know. But yeah, it's just really interesting, and it swings. It's really cool. It's good.
November?
No, right. Now that, I can't even see that far forward.
Can't you?
But I think it might be a singer off the top of my head. But anyway, if you...
look at the website.
Exactly. In fact, why don't I look at the website? Maybe. That's a good idea.
That's what they're for.
If people come along, if people decide to come to one night, we do run a mailing list.
Oh, right.
So we don't spam you. We send out one or two emails a month, just to let you know what's coming up in the next month, you know. And there's also a text list. So if people come along to one and like it and want to see what's on, then they can pass us those details and they can be informed that way, which is quite nice.
Yep. Right, I found out.
Go on. Good, good.
So it's Catherine Sykes,
right?
Who's a good Yorkshire lass.
Oh, right.
She's great. She's a singer. She's
She's brilliant.
Yeah, I like playing with her. She sings a lot with the Glenn Miller Orchestra.
Okay.
So she travels around Europe quite a bit.
Yeah.
But she's brilliant.
We interviewed on NCCR Claire Teal.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier this year. I can't think when. She was coming. She came to Shipston.
All right.
On Stour on a small... She got her trio, I think.
Right.
A trio. She goes out with either a 3-5
That's
or
right,
nine
yeah.
or nine piece.
Oh, brilliant.
But she was there with a 3-piece, I think. I never actually saw it myself, but so you should put her on your acquisition list.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
Claire Teal, BBC Radio 2 Connections.
That's right, yeah.
Say you heard it first here on NCCR.
Yeah, no, she's a lovely singer. I mean, Catherine Sykes is... another fantastic singer, lesser known, but you know, we only kind of book people that we really like.
Of course. And December?
December is, as far as I can tell you,
Christmas special.
Is the Christmas special. We do a Christmas special every year, obviously, but it's always kind of a little bit different. So last year we did a gypsy jazz Christmas,
okay,
in the style of Django Reinhardt.
Oh, right. I was trying to think of the other the other violinist along with Grappelli.
Yeah. Right, Reinhardt, the guitarist.
Yes.
With the with two fingers, yeah.
Sorry, that's right.
Yeah, so musician. So that was the kind of style for December last year. And this year, we are yet to think of a thing. We've got a few months, but
it's been too hot.
We tend to look at it around October.
Yes, yes.
So we'll kind of record something to go along with it. So like I say, last year was just, you know, think of the old jazzy Christmas songs.
Yes, yes. So how long has the jazz club been running?
Morton Jazz, I think, off the top of my head...
It was April 2016 when it started.
Okay.
It had its second birthday.
Oh, okay. Just 2 years. Wow. Yeah, 2 years. Yeah.
Two and a bit years.
And what are your kind of ambitions musically?
My ambitions musically, what, for the club or just for myself?
Both.
Well, for the club, we like I say, we always like to introduce new people. In, you know, even though we're approaching 3 years... It's still nice to say, you know, yes, some of the people that you've seen but we love, but here's a few new offerings.
Mm.
And keep it interesting, keep it varied. We love the club. I mean, we quite often sell out all the tickets. It's not a very big venue. It's quite intimate at about 75 odd.
Mm.
So we always, you know, we always get a lot of support. So I think, I think as long as we keep getting a lot of support and keep bringing in the great people. What do you want to say, Beth?
Well, I was just going to say, I think one of the things to say is that we, and this goes for all four of us, are passionate about keeping things live and local and providing events for local people.
Mm.
And we do get, especially at Morton, we get a lot of people that sort of know their stuff about jazz music. Mm. But we like to create an environment, and Ben certainly does do this, that's very inclusive. So if you're not a huge jazz fan with a vast knowledge of musicians, you know, it doesn't matter. No. We get a lot of people as well that make it a regular social event in their calendar, and they come with their friends.
Mm.
And they have, and at Morton in March, it's bring your own booze, essentially. So you can feel free, we don't put on a bar, you feel free to bring snacks and drinks, and people do, and they go all out and they bring the most beautiful picnic campers full of dip and crisps and all sorts of goodies. But it's a nice night. That's the crux of it, is that we like to create a really warm, welcoming, jazz filled environment that people can come enjoy some like really good musicianship. And I can say that because I'm not Ben, so I can praise him.
you can say that, yeah.
Yeah, some top-notch, you know, musicianship, and just have fun.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, that's how music should be.
Yes.
You know, we don't price hike regularly. We try and keep things, you know, on a level for people and just make it enjoyable, don't we? That's
we try. Yeah. And it's nice and intimate as well.
Yeah.
Did you say that?
I mean,
it's a small venue, like I said, and you're literally on the same level as the band. So there's no stage. It's just the band are right in front of you, literally sometimes on your lap, you know, and I think people
you can
really
feel the sweat pouring off their people.
Well, it's funny because we did one month in the hall upstairs, which is more of a kind of stage and everything. And people preferred the atmosphere in the smaller room.
Yes.
Because it's intimate. It's the intimacy that I love about jazz, and I think a lot of people who come like about it.
Yes.
And, you know, it's like we're a room full of... We don't like creating a barrier between us and the audience.
Yes.
We like everyone to get involved.
And it's not like you're lost in a crowd of 10,000.
Exactly, yeah. So you get to see every bead of sweat and, you know, every finger movement.
Yes.
And
yes.
You really... it's fantastic. And, you know, there are times when I'm not playing every song and I can sit in the audience and get the same thing, you know, as well. So I can sit and watch the band play a couple of numbers.
Yeah, well, continued success with your own career and the Morton Jazz Club.
Thanks, man.
At Reedsdale Hall, Morton in Marsh.
Yeah, Reedsdale Hall in Morton in the Marsh.
Yes, every second Wednesday. And they can hit your website at?
Wow, mortonjazz.co.uk. Or my own website, which is benholdermusic.co.uk.
Very good. And can we play a piece of music to kind of...
Yes.
Go on.
What about a piece that I wrote?
Oh, even better.
How about that? In the style of Gypsy Jazz, featuring a mate of mine, clarinet player, who has just visited, but he lives in New Orleans now. And he plays there. But he's fantastic clarinet player, and along with the Gypsy Jazz sound, like I say, I wrote this piece It's a bit it's a bit of a weird title. It's called Sweet Potato 319. But
it could land up as my theme music.
It's just a nice swinging bit of gypsy jazz-esque